I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am thrilled to have my next guest on with me, Kate Somerville, who I've been a huge fan of for many, many years. She is the founder of Kate Somerville Skin Health Experts, and we are going to chat today all about her journey of building the brand and the company was successfully sold a few years ago to Unilever, and so she's actually doing some other super interesting stuff, including partnering with Foster Nation, which she'll talk a little bit about that too. But Kate Somerville, I can't remember. The first time I bought it at one of my favorite stores, Barney's, I think, and then no more Barney's, and so sad. But I think I was first introduced. I want to say it was like two decades old. I mean, it's been around for a while, but I think the combination of Kate Hudson and Demi Moore and Paris Hilton and lots of incredible influencers with great skin, by the way, that I think I saw. And you were in lots of magazines. You were really the first to integrate skincare and medicine that I at least saw. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about that. And as I said, Kate recently partnered with Foster Nation, which she'll share a lot more about that. And just more than anything, welcome. Very excited to have you.
Yeah, Kara, thank you for having me. I'm a huge fan too. I read your book and so many synergies to being a woman in business.
Well, definitely. And also just, I always share with people, it doesn't matter if you're building in the beauty category, there's always a little bit of difference in the different categories. But what I try and do on this show is really have, you know, the journey and the founder CEO journey and share a lot more about the stories. Because I think that what I try and really emphasize, especially to people who are in it now, who are thinking about going into it, it's never perfect. And people make mistakes, there's failures, there's challenges along the way, all those things. But let's go back to the beginning. So who was Kate growing up? And what was your, who was little Kate? Wow. Did you always know you were going to be in the beauty industry as an entrepreneur? Yeah.
So, yeah, I grew up in a very chaotic world, unfortunately. My dad and mom were both teachers, incredible people. Mom, super artistic and talented. She had her master's, and my dad had his master's, and they were both high school teachers. And my mom started drinking a lot when I was younger and just, you know, it was the 70s, so lots of partying. And my mom ended up leaving when I was 9. And unfortunately, alcoholism just took her life over and she died homeless, actually. And my dad remarried. And so I found he kind of had a new family, and I was in and out of obviously that family, but it was really tumultuous for me because I was also watching my mom hit ground bottom would be like, you know, something, it was unimaginable. So, you know, for me driving up and seeing her at a bus stop looking for her and, you know, her literally like slobbering and like couldn't even pull it together, to putting her in several rehabs and her leaving to the point where she was homeless. And I had to cut myself off from her just because it became so unhealthy for me. And I had had a child, and my dad was in and out of my life. But at 15, I left home. So wow. I had kind of a crazy upbringing, but I was so lucky because I had a really great boyfriend through high school and college. And I also was super competitive, and I was an athlete and a pretty good student. And I lived with my boyfriend. He got a scholarship, and at 16, I lived with him. I know that sounds nuts, but wow. it was a stable environment, honestly. And so that was my upbringing. And during my upbringing, all my emotions came out in my skin. Like, I had the worst eczema as a kid. I got hives. I just wore, like, all the nerves came out on my skin. And so I was always looking for things to, like, soothe my skin, because I think my upbringing was so nuts. And so I feel like skincare was just kind of forced upon me. And I mm-hmm. really realized too, like, as a kid, you know, I had all this eczema and I was an athlete, so it was embarrassing too. So it really affected me. And then after I didn't graduate college, but I went to Fresno State, and I went to Fresno State for design, interior design. That's like my first love, believe it or not. And then I had a friend say, you should become an esthetician. She was a dermatologist, and she's like, you should become an esthetician. It's quick to get the license. And all my nurses are doing, you know, injectables, and they're doing peels in my office, and we're hiring an esthetician doing facials and medical skincare. And I'm like, that sounds really cool. And it was, and I could relate, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how it all started. I went back to aesthetic school. I was super entrepreneurial. I put a business plan together. One of my best friends was, she was in international business, and I was living with her and her boyfriend basically on the couch. And she's like, I want to do my thesis, her last thesis in school on paramedical esthetician. And so I was armed with this incredible business plan, and I just took it around to doctors' offices. And at the time, doctors didn't even know what an esthetician was. Like, this was not even a thing yet. And mm-hmm. so I'll never forget, I walk in, I'm 20, by the way, so I'm a baby. And I walk into my first plastic surgeon's office armed with this incredible business plan. And he's like, well, what is an esthetician? Are you going to put my clients to sleep?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I want to do skincare in your office. And so I said, can I rent space from you? And the cool thing is then doctors were not, they weren't advertising at that time. That, like, if a doctor advertised, that was super unethical. And I mm-hmm. said, listen, I'll advertise for skincare. I'll get all your clients ready for facelifts and whatever. And I'm just going to add to your office. And he's like, that sounds great. So he was awesome. He taught me how to do injectables. He taught me how to do lasers, peels. And I started doing all of his pre and post-operative care for everybody's skin. And that's how it all started. I just was at the right time, at the right place. And I was super, super, I was ambitious. And I saw the vision too, even though, like, every place I'd ever worked was part of my puzzle. Like, I call it a puzzle because, you know, I'd work for this doctor and then it brought that. And then after, so I met my husband, and he lived in Telluride, Colorado, and he was going to move out. And at the time I was using a product called Biomedic in my doctor's office that I was working, and I was one of their top producers. And they said, we're gonna take our top producers and try and get other doctors to buy our products and our services. And they hired me to be an account executive. And so I got to see a brand doing it. And at the time it was Christina Carlino. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she started Biomedic, but she also started philosophy.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. She lived in Arizona and I knew her brother as crazy as that whole sound, as that sounds anyway. But yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. So, and her partner was David Watson. And David Watson is IBM. Mm-hmm. So she had great funding behind her. And so I got to see a brand being born early. And so it gave me that vision of, ooh, someday I want to do my own. And so I worked there for just a minute, honestly, because I came from a small town and I didn't love the travel. And at that point, by the way, this is such a funny story. You know, now we have phones to tell us how to get to places, you know, in the car. Totally. But back then it was this, you know, this huge book and you had to kind of find your map and you're in the side of the road and you're looking to where to go. And I was just like, I was just too young and like, that was way too crazy. And I was by myself in these weird towns and these weird offices, you know, alone. And I was like, this is not for me. So I ended up going to, so I met my husband and we just fell in love. And his dad was the lead singer of the Diamonds, which was a huge 50s phenomena. He had 10 top one hits in the 50s. And he lived in Hollywood. And he's like, come move here and you guys can stay here. And he lived in this tiny kind of like barn shack, believe it or not, just because the music industry wasn't what it is today. But anyhow, he was such an awesome guy. He coached me through a lot of things. And so my husband and I, we got married and we moved in with him in the Hollywood Hills, looking right at the Hollywood sign. And I just got on the phone and I'm like, okay, I'm going to find the top plastic surgeon in LA. And I found out who he was. His name was Stephen Hofflin. I called his office up and I said, hey, I want to do a skincare line or a skincare, you know, clinic inside of your office. And he loved the idea. And so we opened one for him and he did everyone in the world. Like he was the guy to go to. So that's where I got kind of my touch of celebrity clientele.
Yeah.
And then he had some issues with paparazzis and his office kind of dissolved. And so I was like, I'm ready to do this on my own. And I had not two pennies to rub together, but somehow I found a way. I had some clients help me financially, and I opened three rooms on Melrose Place. And that's where it just exploded. That's kind of my, you know, the beginnings.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to talk about my book. It's called Undaunted. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet on Audible or picked up a copy at Amazon or at your favorite bookstore, I think you're really missing out. Hopefully, you're enjoying listening to The Kara Golden Show with all the amazing guests that I'm so lucky to interview and be inspired by. Stories of challenges and breakthroughs, lessons too. Each of these incredible guests teach me that being undaunted really is the answer. And that is what you will learn from my story, which I share in my book, Undaunted. Not only how I came up with the idea for Hint, but also the journey that I experienced along the way. You see, most people don't know all the challenges that entrepreneurs go through in building a company and the journey, the ups and the downs, twists and turns. You will hear it all in Undaunted. Probably the thing that has made me happiest about writing this book is hearing from people and how the book has helped them push through hard things and try new things. I have heard from countless people how Undaunted has helped them see that they are not alone in their hard times that they are experiencing, but also how pushing forward and finding a way is usually what it takes. my real stories with my observations looking back that just might make you change your mind about what you can endure and what you can achieve. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. It's time to move past your fears and defy the doubters too. My book Undaunted is available everywhere books are sold, on Amazon and Audible as well. And shoot me a DM and tell me what you think. Back to the show. You started out as doing services, really, as well as the actual products, which is frankly different than a lot of other beauty brands. And you were really working on skin prior to actually starting your own. What was your first product that you actually came out with?
It was a product called Quench. And it's still on the line today. And I call it the liquid velvet. And that's the product that really put me on the map, because at the time, like Jessica Alba was huge, and Kate Walsh and Deborah Messing and all these amazing shows were on, like Grey's Anatomy hit, Will and Grace hit. And I was so lucky. I was like, you know, I had a lot of kind of back end friends that were like producers and writers. And I was like, hey, can I put my products in your gift bags for your, you know, for your party after like the Oscars or whatever? Yeah. And they were like, yeah. And I did a bounce back of a facial, because I had this incredible clinic, right, that was doing laser and facials at the same time. So our results are so amazing in the clinic. And so what happened was they all came in and they all got facials and lasers and injectables and, you know, started using my products. And it fed the clinic. And what happened was, because everyone was so famous at that time, especially Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie and Lindsay Lohan, like it was really when like Us Weekly and People, you know, like I think I was in Us Weekly and People almost every week because of them, because they were coming to me and their makeup artists were sending people to me. And they were the ones that were talking about Kate Somerville. And so I didn't even have a retail line. I was, you know, I had maybe 7 SKUs that were already bottled that I created, but then I was mixing on site for my clients. So what happened was, like, Barney's, which is so funny you mentioned, they were my first launch. Nordstrom's. I remember in 1 week I had Sephora, Nordstrom's, Barney's, Saks. No, Saks actually said no, which is so funny. But and Neiman Marcus. They all wanted the brand, and I was like, "Well, I don't know anything about retail, so give me a second, and I have to get my line ready." And I had a client at the time see kind of what was happening and my tenacity. And he'd always said, if you ever want a partner, let me know. And my wife and I would invest. And so they helped me. They were kind of my angel investors. And then the business just became too big and too real. And I needed like strategic partners. And so that's when I was like, okay, it's time to find somebody that can help me in the business. And that's when, you know, I had like Estee Lauder and L'Oreal kind of circling, circling. And then, but I was going to sign with Estee Lauder, but I hadn't been in retail yet. Like they wanted to buy the brand before it even went to retail. I was actually scheduled to launch on QVC. It was like a Thursday night, actually. And I'll never forget this. I flew into QVC. I was scared to death because QVC is a home shopping network, right?
Right.
And it's live. And I was in the office with Lauder like the week before, and I had met with Leonard, who, by the way, is the nicest man. I love that man. But and he's like, you know, this is the Super Bowl. Like, you have to dress right. You have to know your product. Like, because with QVC, if you don't succeed the first night or the second night with your products, they don't bring you back.
Yeah,
and it's consignment. So what does that mean? It means that you produce the product, you ship it. They don't give you a dime until their customer buys it, and they give you money like 3 months later, which is really hard for a small brand because they have to come up with the money to make the product, and then they don't get paid for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So for a small brand, it's a hard place to be. And luckily, I had so much momentum in the press that I was so scared, Kara. I was like, I'll never forget. I was on air and I don't know if I said like 10 words. Have you ever had a wedding before and you're the bride and you kind of don't remember the whole night?
Yeah, you just go, it was a blur, the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's so crazy. I just remember the lights going on and I just smiled and I don't even know what I said. And I'm so grateful because we sold out in 4 minutes and I barely said anything.
You barely said anything.
And I really attest that for the brand being very well known, right? So anyways, we sold out and then we launched Nordstrom's and Neiman's at the same time. And then I decided to sell to a private equity firm. And that was a very, very hard relationship. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about like the Harvard business people. Yeah, they definitely knew what they were doing. And you know, every turn they were trying to, you know, take the brand basically. And so that was it was the funnest part of my life as far as building the brand, because we were on fire and we were just trying to play catch up. And, you know, we were going into the Four Seasons with our clinics and our products. So I got to travel the world and stay in these amazing places. And like, I had never been to New York, and I was an esthetician and I was still doing treatment. And I'll never forget, the Dixie Chicks were my clients, right?
Oh, that's wild.
Natalie, who I love and such an awesome person, they were at the top of their game at that point. And I was doing her facial and she's like, I'm going to New York for the first time and we're launching in Bendel's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. And she's like, we're playing the Garden when you're going to be there that night.
Oh, that's wild.
So my first trip to New York, this is no joke. We flew in, we got dressed, we had front row tickets to the Dixie Chicks. We got to go backstage and hang with them. It was so fun. And then the next day, I met with Donald Trump and Ivanka, which is so crazy, right? And at that time, Trump was not in office.
Yeah.
But he was just about, him and his kids were about to start their Trump hotels. And so I met with them.
Amazing experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, here I am. And I'll never forget, I was with my publicist in the elevator going up to the Trump office. And I was like, God, if they only knew. I grew up in a barn with an outhouse, because me and my dad lived in this barn with an outhouse, and he was a teacher, and my mom's homeless. Like, if they only knew, like, this is such a Cinderella story, you know?
Hey, Kara here. We are thrilled you are listening with us, and I hope you're enjoying this episode. I've had the pleasure of interviewing so many amazing guests over the past few years, and there are so many more to come. I cannot wait. And my focus is on entrepreneurs and CEOs, real innovators and leaders who are making a difference. That's what I'm looking forward to bringing you. One of the reasons I enjoy interviewing many of my guests is that I get to learn. We all need to hear stories that teach us to be better, inspire us, and help us get through those challenging moments. I can't remember the last time I had a guest that didn't leave me feeling like a major hurdle had been overcome. We just don't hear these stories enough. And when we do, we learn to be smarter and stronger. Don't you agree? Episodes are concise but packed with amazing info that you will surely be inspired by. Do me a favor and send me a DM and tell me what you think about each interview that you get a chance to be inspired by. And if you are so inclined, please leave one of those 5-star reviews for the Kara Golden Show on one of your favorite podcast platforms as well. Reviews really, really help. Now, let's get back to this episode. What do you think are some of the hardest lessons that you learned?
Okay, so I think the biggest lesson, especially because I didn't go to business school and learn about like spreadsheets, and I was kind of thrown into, you know, running a real business quickly. The biggest lesson I would say is, you know, when you know that you have a hole in what you're doing, like for me, I wasn't a financial person. So I really knew that I had to delegate these things. Like I didn't know retail. So I was like, okay, I have to find the best retail person. And so you put your trust in a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to do what's best for them. And what I really learned through, especially through the private equity firm, those people that stuck with me through that and were loyal to me, were, you know, I thank them every day and we're still close. But boy, as soon as somebody has a financial kind of windfall with somebody else or a, you know, you just see people turn and you're like, I'm not surprised because I grew up in such a tumultuous, but it was just, you know, it's hard to trust. That's probably my biggest thing, but there's really good people too. So, so that would be my biggest
thing.
You learn
who your friends are, right?
Yeah. You learn who's really good and who's really not good.
Yeah.
Like if they're going to do something that's not right, even, and you know, it's not right, for money, you know, that they're not the right people. And what it's so funny, cause I don't know, I had a client that was kind of like a psychic person and he was like, you know, okay, you're a giver. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're hiring someone, make sure you hire givers, because you're an esthetician. And if you know nursing and aesthetics, like, you know, you're givers because you want to make people feel better. So he just said, make sure you find the givers. And so it's hard to know that, obviously, in an interview. And then the other thing is learning how to balance a cash flow, because my business got really successful and really, like, it looked bigger than it was, right? Mm-hmm. In like the structure part, like it grew so fast. And so you, even good things can put you out of business. And so I'll never forget, like, Oprah, like, remember when Oprah had her, you know, favorite things and people would go out of business when they would get on her list. And I was like, why is that? Why would success put somebody out of business? And it's because they couldn't manage their cash flow. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're not good at finance, find somebody that is, that's conservative and is going, they're going to have to tell you no. There's going to be times where, even though it's the best deal and you know, like, I'll never forget, QVC wanted me to do this massive big show. It was a TSV, meaning it was 24 hours. And those are millions of dollars to a brand. And the recession hit and they'd placed a PO and we built it. And then they were like, they pulled it. And I was stuck with all this inventory, and like, it almost killed us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really important to, even if it's a good thing, if you can't afford it, like, keep your cash flow healthy as much mm-hmm. as you can.
So what did you do in that situation? That was another question I was going to ask you. I mean, like, when have you had that challenge along the way?
Oh my God, so many. So many of these challenges. So many of those challenges. And, you know, the hard thing is it was 2008 and it was when the recession hit and I was new, right? I had started my company in 2006. So it didn't touch us for maybe a year because we were new and we were small and nimble. Mm-hmm. But then it started hitting us. And of course, like, the banks would not loan to me. And I was in with these, you know, really, I want to be nice, but really, you know,
tough
private
people.
Equity guys.
Yeah.
And so they were just trying to take advantage of that. And me because we were still growing like crazy in a recession, but I couldn't get money at a normal rate because nobody was loaning. And I'm here, this young woman in business. And no, you know, after I sold to Unilever, I met Jane Warwind, who is the founder of Dermalogica. And she looked at me because I was really beating myself up, you know, like, oh, I could have, you know, made this a bigger brand. And she's like, you know, Katie, only 2% of women get funded in business. She goes, you are mm-hmm. up against so much. Like, you can't beat yourself
totally.
Up. And I was like, what? 2% of women get funded? And she goes, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And I was like, oh, okay. So this wasn't like, the hardships weren't my fault. And I know that sounds crazy, but I beat myself up because, you know, I did everything I could. It was like, I was climbing. I always say I climbed Mount Everest with fake nails and bare feet, you know, that's how I felt.
And you have a brand that you are not involved in anymore, but you are, I mean, it's a brand that is going to stay, right? Which I think is something.
Well, I'm super involved, believe it or not.
Well, but your name is involved in, I mean, the actual creation of the Kate Somerville, right? But how involved are you? I guess I should ask.
I'm still super involved. That's the cool thing about Unilever. And so Unilever bought the brand and they wanted the founder to stay on. And if you talk to all the founders in the prestige category, we're all still there. We're all still super involved. So I still do product development. I still do like everything, like
that's
still
amazing.
Face of the company, still not day to day where I'm dealing with HR and, you know, issues, thank God, now through COVID and all these supply chain issues. But I used to be in charge of everything. And now I got to hand that off to real pros. But now I get to do the fun stuff, right? Press, marketing, product development. Like, I'm super involved still.
That's great. So what year was that that you sold to Unilever?
2010.
Wow. And so, I mean, 12 years later, too, you're still involved in the brand. And
oh, sorry, 2015. Sorry, 2010.
No,
I wrote my book. So yeah, 2015. I sold. Yeah, 7 years, and we're still. It's still good. Like it's. They are one of the first companies to, in my opinion, like most of my friends that sold to other big beauty houses are not with the brand anymore. And Unilever has kept all the founders and they listen.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I have a great CEO. We get along. I mean, we had some rough starts with some CEOs, but my CEO now, we're like, not only are we you know, we see eye to eye on a lot of stuff through Kate Somerville, but we're like great friends. Like he's such a great guy.
That's amazing. I love hearing that story. So I want to talk about another initiative that you started with Kate Somerville, the newest partnership, Foster Nation. So tell us a little bit about that and why is it important to you?
Well, I kind of told you a little bit about my upbringing. So we were looking at Kate Somerville to do a social mission. Like we had always had social mission of like taking kids that really had bad skin and couldn't afford to transform their skin. And we would do it for free at the clinic. And that was always in the brand. But Unilever was like, it's really important for us to have a social mission. And so my marketing company knew I was doing a lot of speaking to kids because I'm like, you can do this. Like, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter. Like, if you have tenacity, you can have a successful life. And so they were like, I think this needs to be with kids that are, you know, in troubled situations. And so they found Maggie from Foster Nation and introduced us. And I was like, this is so what needs to be our social mission. And so what we're doing, and it is so incredible. It's so full circle. And this is what I tell any listener today, like take the bad out of your life. Like I had eczema, I had skin issues. I created a brand out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I had a bad, crazy childhood. And now I get to help other kids that are in the same situation. So foster kids, which I didn't know, at 18, and they've been through, a lot of them have been through hell, right? Mm-hmm. They've been through maybe 50 homes. They've moved schools. They've maybe been with parents that didn't care about them and some of the stories. And hopefully they found really good homes, right? But still at 18, the money cuts off from the state. They're given a plastic bag to take their things out of their homes, a list of shelters in the area, and they become homeless at 18. And they say, you're on your own. And some of these kids that I've met are so tenacious. They're like, they're survivors. They're going to college. But most kids, like 3% of foster kids, make it through graduation in normal college. And 50% of them within the first year either go to prison or homeless.
Wow.
And so it is such an issue and it's right in your backyard, you guys. Like these are kids that have not had a lot of stability and I can relate to that. So I was like, I just want to give them hope. And so what we've done is we've taken $100,000 a year and given it to Foster Nation. And we've also given 5 scholarships to anybody that wants to go to beauty school. And we get them through beauty school and we have 3 people that we just recently picked. They're starting school and they applied. And I have to tell you, Kara, like some of these girls that sent in their application, like some of them were doing a video, like in a tent, and they're so bright and so amazing.
We're
helping them and wrapping our arms around them and mentoring them if they want to go into beauty, like in marketing or, you know, production, or they want to become an esthetician or a hair makeup artist. We're wrapping our arms around them and we're helping them. And it's so rewarding.
That is so great. Well, I love hearing your whole journey and I love hearing about Foster Nation and that partnership. It seems like you're really passionate about that and definitely amazing that you can develop a brand and find a way to do good. It's sort of full circle And just absolutely great. So thank you so much for sharing. Where can people find Kate Somerville products today?
Well, katesomerville.com. That's okay. For sure. And then obviously our great partners, Sephora, Neiman's, Nordstrom's. And if you're in the UK, Space NK and Cult Beauty. I mean, there's so many in the UK too. So yeah, but Kate Somerville, if you can support the brand directly, that's the best way to buy it. And we have skin health experts, you know, really talking you through whatever condition you have. And we can, you know, set up a skin consultation. And then obviously in LA, we still have our clinic, and the clinic is still, you know, magical. We're still hugely successful there and have incredible clientele. So come visit.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today for this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the Kara Golden Show so that you are sure not to miss incredible stories from people like Kate, creators, disruptors, people who are going out there and doing great, great things and building great brands, running great brands. Definitely give it a 5-star rating today, too. That really helps the algorithm to get the word out about the podcast overall. And I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. Definitely pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted. If you have not had a chance to read it, it's also on Audible too. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and just launched Friday as well. So lots of episodes, lots of amazing, amazing people that are joining us. So thank you, everyone, and have an amazing rest of the week. Thanks again, Kate.
Thanks, Kara.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.